I've been coaching him off and on his whole life. He's the same age as Tanner. And a couple of years ago, we were at a spring break baseball tournament. And I don't know if any of y'all have spent a week in a house with 16 to 20 teenage high school boys. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it at all. But every morning, you know, I'm kind of old, so I get up early. I can't help it. That's what my brain does. And every morning I'd get up early and take a shower, and I'd walk outside, and Hunter would be sitting at the picnic table outside by himself reading his Bible. And the whole rest of the house is asleep, and he'd have his notebook and his pen. And so we got to sit down and talk about the Bible and God and Bible study, and, you know, because I like talking about that stuff. I'm a Bible teacher. And then I got to talking to one of the coaches on our coaching staff is Patrick Blackman, who's the pastor at Bethlehem, and he said, yeah, I've been talking with Hunter some, and we meet about once a week and discuss, and I think the Lord's leading him to ministry. And this past year, we went on the spring break tournament with the baseball team, and Hunter gave a devotion every morning, which was outstanding because kids like Hunter are rare, very rare. And, you know, he's on the baseball team. We got a lot of the baseball team here today, and, you know, me and the coaches talk sometimes. Everybody on our baseball team is important and needed, and the job that they do for the team to give us success is important. But Hunter is the heartbeat of our baseball team. He's the one in the dugout that went. When things ain't going right, he's the one that's picking up everybody around him. He's the one where if he has something bad go wrong, he'll sit down for a minute, get it together, and then he's back up cheering for his team and leading his team. And, you know, I've had the opportunity over the years to coach a ton of kids and a ton of sports, and I've never met one better than Hunter, and I'm not just saying that, buddy. I mean it. If you could build one, make a mold and say this is how we'd want him to be and act like and do, you'd build Hunter. And I love him. I appreciate you coming and preaching tonight. And so this is Hunter Ganey, our starting pitcher. Thing in my head, too, you know, he hits over 300, which is good in baseball if you don't know baseball. He's got a super low ERA, you know, but he swings the bat and delivers the ball at the baseball games. And it's important for our team. We got another coach here, and Steve, we need Hunter to do his job, right? But, buddy, tonight you're going to swing your sword and deliver that word. And as it's way bigger and way more important. And just like, now, Hunter doesn't come from a church like ours. And I said, Hunter, sometimes we can be interactive. But don't let that bother you. You know, I've told you in here before, I cheer these boys on when they at the plate and on the mound. And I'm going to cheer you on while you're up here, buddy. So you go get them.
Amen. Well, good afternoon. Who here is a control freak? I know a lot of people, they love to be in control. They're always got to have everything their way. It's got to be all planned out. There's some people I know that like their whole life is planned out. They go to high school, they may play some sports, and then they go to a college for 2 years. Then they'll go to that college for another 2 years. And they decide, you know, then they're going to get a job, and they're going to have a family. And so I know there's got to be some people like that here this morning. And has anyone here had a plan on how they were going to do things? And then God comes, and the guy goes in there and just messes it all up.
Amen. Amen.
Well, sorry. That's exactly what happened last night. I had a plan. I was going to preach on Genesis 40. I was going to speak on is Joseph and interpreting the dreams of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And I had all this planned out. I had all the introduction written. I've been practicing it and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, God's like, no, I don't think so, Jack. I don't want you to preach on that. And, yeah. And So yeah, I'm probably going to be doing something a little different than y'all expected me to. It's definitely different than I expected to be doing tonight. So yesterday, God made it very clear that he wanted me to share my testimony and how I was called into ministry. And so I'll pray real quick. God, thank you so much for just this opportunity to be here. God, I'm so blessed, and thank you so much for all the people that you've placed in my life, God. And God, I ask that you will just move today. God, I ask that I will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and ask that you will speak directly through me, God. And I ask that everyone here is willing to change and willing to make sacrifices for you, God. God, thank you so much for all you've done for me. It's your name that I pray. Amen. And so growing up, I was always in church. I went to church like almost every Sunday, whether I liked it or not. I really did not have a choice. And so at a very young age, I knew a lot about the Bible, and I knew a lot about Jesus. And so at 8 years old, I thought I got saved. At 8 years old, I got baptized. But there was something like really, really wrong. I didn't know that there was a difference in knowing God in your head and knowing him in your heart. I only knew God in my head. I only knew about Jesus. I didn't have a true, intimate relationship with Jesus. And so at 8 years old, I got baptized. I believed that I was saved, but I had no true relationship with him. And so growing up, I was a very religious person, but religion is all it was. And Matthew 7, 22 through 23 states, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The people that Jesus is speaking about here, they are religious people. They have cast out devils in God's name, and they consider Jesus as Lord, but religion is all it was. My life is a great example of that passage. When I was growing up for almost 9 years, I went to church, I prayed, I did all these things that you would consider religious, but I did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so like I said, I did not have a true personal relationship with him. I only knew him in my head, not my heart. And so growing up, I remember there were several times where God had begun to tug on my heart. And I remember Billy Wayne, he came to preach one day for a revival. I remember just sitting there like, oh my gosh, golly, dude. I'm saved. Why am I feeling like this? My heart would be beating, and I would be gripping that pew. I'm like, golly, dude, I don't want to go down there, man. I can't. I'm saved. Why do I feel like this? I got baptized when I was 8. And so that continued to happen just like that throughout my life. And also, everyone saw me as this really good kid. And so I had all this pride, and I didn't want people to know that I wasn't saved. And I didn't want people to know that I didn't have everything all right. So fast forward to January 2023, not this past January. But it's January 4th, and I'm in my room praying. And like I said, I was religious, so I was in my room praying, and God had begun tugging on my heart again. But this time, it was different. This time, I was tired of telling myself that everything was okay, because I was exhausted from running. And so I'm praying, and I just felt like there was a void in my life, like there was something missing, and I was tired of that. And so the next day comes, it's January 5th, and it's a Thursday, and I'm at a thing called Brotherhood with Pleasantdale. And it's like where all the men in the church, they come together and they have fellowship. And so I was there, and that night a man named Brad Stroud, I don't know if you know him, but he gave his testimony that night. And I remember just hearing what he had to say, just it tore me up. I just wanted to break down and cry in front of all those grown men in there. And I was trying out, I even like went up to him very awkwardly, just kind of stood around, hoping that God would like, just, all right, Hunter, I want you to speak to him now. And I just never could find the right opportunity. So I went home, and I remember driving home that night. And God opened my eyes, and I realized that if I died, that I would go to hell. Come on. That was the scariest feeling I've ever felt. Bless you. I remember walking through the house that night, and I just felt like a zombie just like trudging through the house. And so the next day comes, and even all this has happened, I'm still fighting with God. I'm still trying to convince myself that I'm saved and that I'm all right. But it's a Friday, and I'm at Pleasantdale again for it's like a youth hangout. And so we're all there sitting by ourselves, praying silently. And I'm still fighting, but I finally just give up. I was tired of running. I was like, God, what do you want me to do? Why am I feeling like this? Will you please just speak to me? And then very clearly, right after I prayed that prayer, he made it very clear to me that I needed to speak with Bryson. That was the youth pastor at Pleasantdale. And so I look up from where I'm at, and I see him over there speaking to somebody. I'm like, oh, man. I'm still trying to gather the nerve. I'm like, am I actually going to do this? Am I actually going to do this? So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, Bryson, he stands up. He walks straight to me, and he sits down right beside me, and I could not believe it. I was flabbergasted. I was like, oh, my word, now I have to speak to him. I mean, God is just telling me right here, you've got to do it. And so he sits down right beside me, and he starts praying over me, and then he gets done, and I'm like, Bryson, we got to talk. And on that night, January 6th, I gave my life to the Lord. That's when I fully surrendered my life to Christ. I stopped running from God, and I gave it up. But I'll be honest, at the moment, I did not know that I got saved. I thought that I rededicated my life. At the time, I still did not know that there was a difference in knowing God in your head and knowing him in your heart.
Amen.
I knew that there was a major change from before January to after January 6th, but I still did not know. And so fast forward a little bit more to Victory Sports. This past Victory Sports, it was in the summer. And a man named Jamichael, he preached that night. And that was when God opened my eyes and I realized that there is a difference in knowing God in your head and knowing him in your heart. And so God opened my eyes to that, and I realized that I was not saved before January 6th. And so shortly after, I got baptized. And when I gave my life to the Lord back in January, not the January 2023, my life completely changed. Everything about my desires changed. My attitude changed. My outlook on life changed. My focus on what I was doing completely changed. I surrounded myself with a good group of friends, and I began to actually to dive into my Bible, and I enjoyed it. I actually did. But for almost all of my life, I wanted to be a game warden. That was what I wanted to do. That was the only thing I could see myself pursuing. And we would watch these shows as a family, like Lone Star Law, and there's another one like for Maine. I can't remember, but these game warden shows, and I loved it. That was what I wanted to do. But for some reason, right after I got saved, the funniest thing happened. I can't explain it, but all I wanted to do was preach. I mean, for all my life, I wanted to be a game warden, but right after I got saved, being a game warden didn't interest me anymore. Out of nowhere. I began to become concerned on what God wanted for my life, not what Hunter wanted. And then another thing that happened is I realized just how many people, how common it is for there to be people that were just like me for almost nine years like I was in my life. There's people in our churches that they only have head knowledge of God.
Amen. Amen.
There's people that they don't have a true relationship with God in that heart. And so God placed a burden for the lost on my heart. I realized how many people around me were lost, and it hurt my heart. I hated that. And so I wanted God to use me, and I wanted just to preach to them so hopefully they will come to know God. And the next way that God showed me that he called me into ministry was through other people. After I got saved, I was going to Pleasantville for a while, and I had people come up to me like, Hunter, I don't know why, but God has told me to come up here and tell you that God has called you to something more. And people tell me that they can see me in ministry. And then I remember I was at a thing called Spring Weekend, and it's like a little summer camp. It's like a mini summer camp for just the weekend. And the week before this, it wasn't really a good week for me. It just felt like all of a sudden God had stopped calling me into ministry. And I was like, what in the world, dude? And just, it was not a good week. And so I'm kind of not really looking forward to going to this mini summer camp. And when I go, they offer these classes that you can take. And so I was either going to do the called a ministry class or some class about like sharing the gospel with your friends or something like that. And I was just going to go to the sharing the gospel with your friends class because I was like, well, God doesn't want me to go into ministry anymore. And one of the leaders of the class, we're in the gym like playing basketball and stuff or playing knockout, and he comes up to me, he's like, you should go to the call to ministry class. I was like, what? What in the world? How in the world did you know that I was considering going into ministry? And he was like, I just feel like I should tell you that. And so it was insane. And so I ended up going to the class, and it was just kind of like, basically just like told you how to know if you're called into ministry. But yeah, and after that class, I was like, oh man, I am definitely, this is what God has called me to do. He has called me into ministry. But then for the next few months, I let the devil come in and I let him get to me. Right after the class, it kind of like settled in like, oh man, God's calling me into ministry. There's no way I can do that. I got shy. I shied away and I got scared because I was looking at my ability. Because I knew that Hunter has a stutter. And Hunter, he cannot stand to stand in front of people and talk. And so I was looking at my ability. And so after that, there would be weeks where I'd feel like God was calling me into ministry. And then like the week after, I'm like, oh man, there's no way. And that just continued for months, just up and down. And that happened until, and I fought that until preacher, well, Patrick Blackman, the preacher over at Bethlehem, he was like, Hunter, what if you shared your testimony in front of the church? I was like, oh, whoa, there's no way. But I ended up doing it, and just the week of, to what was going on, whenever I realized that I was getting called into ministry, I scared away from it. I started pushing myself away from that. I stopped fully surrendering myself to God. And so that week when he asked me, I had to place my trust in God because the old Hunter, there's no way he could stand up in front of here. There's absolutely no way. And so I had to fully surrender myself to God. And so that week, just everything just started clicking into place. I remember the Sunday school lesson to the preaching and just me standing in front of everybody like, this is what God's called me to do. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And so that's my story. That's how I met Jesus, and that's how I knew that God had called me into ministry. But for my question for you all tonight, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Or are you just like me for almost 9 years, you only have head knowledge? I don't care how religious you are. You can, maybe you've been coming to church all your life. You make your kids go to church. Or you ask a blessing before you eat your food or whatever. I don't care how religious you are. Maybe you have a void in your life. Maybe you just feel like there's something wrong. Each and every one of us, we're made to have a relationship with God.
Right.
And when we don't have that relationship, that's why we have the void in our life. That's why we feel like there's something missing. But unfortunately for most of us, instead of coming to Jesus like we should, we go and seek worldly pleasure. We go to alcohol or drugs or girls just to fill that void in our life, just find some kind of pleasure. Anything to give us peace, but it never lasts. We end up having to go to more drugs, more alcohol, yeah. More girls.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
And we end up living a life full of sin and selfishness. Let me tell you, there's only one way that we can fill that void in our life. That's Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only way we can find true peace.
Amen.
That's not temporary.
Yeah.
The Bible says that if you repent of your sins, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved.
That's right.
And then my next question is, are you fulfilling God's call in your life? We all have some kind of call. You heard how that played out in my life. And it doesn't have to be some ministry, full-time ministry. But we all have some kind of call that God is calling us to. So have you surrendered to that call? And again, it doesn't have to be full-time ministry, but you as a witness for Christ. Let me pray. God, again, I just want to thank you so much, God. God, I ask that you just, this message has resonated on everyone's heart this evening, God. And God, I ask that you just pierce hearts. And God, I ask that you just open eyes tonight, God, and ask that you, people here just realize that maybe they've been stagnant. Maybe they've grown numb to their sin, or maybe they've been all right with how they've been living, God. God, again, I just want to thank you for just this opportunity, God, and I ask that you truly move. God, in your name that I pray. Amen.